Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. I have just received my potassium iodine solution, Lugol, as part of my review of my nuclear preparedness. I don't think I'll ever need this. I live relatively far from any plant that could blow up, but you never know. You never know. It's good to have. It's just for the trip of being ready for anything that could happen. Very satisfied about it. I will not try it because I think there are some risks of consuming this too much. You can overdose, I think. Not die, but I think it can be bad for your thyroid, so you just want to use it when it's needed. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Today we will be reviewing war updates, and look at this. Our friend Coach Red Pill is on the Daily Beast. How a sleazy American dating coach became a pro-Putin shill in Ukraine. Star turn. You cannot make this up. John Drake says, what is it? Well, it's an iodine solution, so it occupies your thyroid gland with just regular iodine. If you are faced with an environment that had nuclear leaks or blowing up, and that has led to iodine in a radioactive form to spread in the environment, because your thyroid gland, if it absorbs it through the air, just stacks it, and so you have stacked radioactivity in your thyroid gland, and you can suffer from long-term effects from this. All right, yeah, so Coach Red Pill. I mean, I can't believe the style of the Daily Beast. That's in the rubric extremism. It's like they write entire articles just filled with insults. There is not a single discussion of a point made here. It is just insult, 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 insult. And then, oh yeah, and he says this about Ukraine. We talked to an expert, it's bullshit. Insult, 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 insult. Can't we have an engagement on the points, please? Because the only point being mentioned here in this very long article is the conception that Russia is on schedule, that they are not delayed, they are only delayed by the standard of the pro-Ukraine intelligence people who have chosen to say this and think that. But that as far as their accomplishment goes, it's totally on schedule, which is the view of Coach Red Pill, and they're winning. And the only argument that the Daily Beast has against this is, we talked to an expert, and here's his quote. And his quote is like, what he says doesn't make sense. No argument, no why doesn't it make sense? Can't you have an interpretation of the situation in which the Russian army is doing pretty good? No, impossible. An expert has said so. As soon as Russia launched its invasion of Ukraine, Gonzalo Lira started sharing his thoughts and observations on the conflict in a run of YouTube videos and posts on Telegram and Twitter. The commentary and analysis I post is without picking sides. Lira, an American who's lived in the eastern Ukrainian city of Kharkiv for years and was in Kiev at the start of the offensive, wrote in a recent post, trying to be as balanced and factually accurate as I can be. He began showing up on niche but notable podcasts and live streams where host introduced him as an unmediated font of underground insights. As someone willing to share truths about the complex conflict that the mainstream media either can't or won't. He's also gained a slew of new followers. His Telegram has about 45,000 followers, up from 20,000 on March 1st, and seems to be gaining hundreds more every day. Many people seem to view him as a valuable source and have taken to signal boosting his content. But his quote-unquote fair and balanced accounts often involve wild claims about supposedly obvious evil of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, The comedian turned politician is a known cokehead, Lyra claimed. A man who uses his people as shields has provided arms to criminals who have terrorized the streets of Kiev and has possibly deliberately tried to have a nuclear accident to pin in on Russia and possibly drag America into his war. Meanwhile, Lyra has portrayed the Russian assault as provoked and as one of the most brilliant invasions in military history. Okay, do you have an argument against this? What's the alternative vision here? And at some point, they talk to an expert, and believe it or not, the expert says, I didn't know about Gonzalo Lyra, but as I was reviewing the videos you sent me, I initially thought he was a fictitious guy created by Russian propaganda. And then eventually the experts discuss among themselves and they're like, no, we conclude that he's maybe just a YouTuber who thinks these things. These people cannot conceive that a human being would think differently, would go their own way. It's hilarious. You can have a look if you want at the article. Of course, it's propaganda, but for the lulz, it's worth it. But these people cannot conceive that someone would think something different than the narrative. And none of these experts are underground. It's like, we're going to talk to Rutgers University specialist in Ukraine studies. What does he know about the state of the invasion? He knows at best as much as me, who's outside of Ukraine. But we have Coach Red Pill right on the front of the war, right in Kharkiv. And he went there to see it happen with his own eyes. Anyways, it's an article of an attempt at decredibilization, which turns into, of course, an attempt at smearing, and it's not playing in the way the Daily Beast would want it to play. It's actually making Coach Red Pill further attention, further mediatic attention, and I'm sure he's doing great. I'm sure he's not depressed at seeing this hit piece. When they start attacking you with hit piece at the Daily Beast, there's money on your head, that's for sure. Someone paid to make this happen. All right, join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to send me super chats if you would like to support the show. How will this end is our survey question tonight. Will it end with all of Ukraine under Putin control, two-thirds of Ukraine, one-third of Ukraine, or only DPR, LPR, and Crimea? I tend to think that it would be very disappointing that all these resources have been invested and only to get out with a little to claim for Putin. I think Putin has decided to close the front with Europe at its furthest distance possible, at least two-thirds of Ukraine. A captured soldier that's on Odyssey of the 58th Motorized Infantry Brigade of the Armed Forces of Ukraine talks about the deplorable state of the Ukrainian units. You know how these mainstream media and these pro-Ukrainian people keep telling us, JF, Russians have low moral troop. Look at an interview with a Russian soldier we captured. He wants to talk to his mother. Ha ha ha. Well, how about you look at the Ukrainian soldiers that are captured? We have an English translation here of what he says. We only had two tanks. One didn't start. The other hardly fired. They were immediately knocked out. The military told the truth about the armed forces of Ukraine. A captured soldier of the 58th Motorized Infantry Brigade of the Armed Forces of Ukraine talks about the deplorable state of the Ukrainian units. The command left us. We lived in a potato warehouse. The locals brought us food. There were only two BRDMs in the unit and two tanks. One would not start, the other hardly fired. They were knocked out almost immediately, the contract soldier says. I saw on the internet that the Ukrainian army is defeating everyone. After this battle, I'm not sure. Well, well, well. If you have a balanced interpretation of a soldier statement, You understand that what we're seeing is always the Russian soldier losing. They're presenting us to create an impression that, oh my God, the morale is low on the Russian side. They're not professionals, but here you have the exact same on the other side. But you'll never see this one on mainstream media. Tillman says, does anyone know how to improve video quality on Odyssey? I don't know. For a live, normally it should be high quality from the beginning. I wouldn't expect that you need to do anything. All right. And if you don't want to support the show through Entropy, you can also use the support button on Odyssey. Hyper chats have been allowed with credit cards and USD. Relentless Truth, game over. Also, someone was sending that to me. People are basically sifting through more Hunter Biden emails and are finding things that even the person says, I wouldn't want to describe this visually. But they're finding horrible things in the Hunter Biden material. And so I don't know, will this be subjected to a new release? I don't know. US sending Soviet anti-air defense systems to Ukraine that were secretly acquired. Greater escalation is in the air as two nuclear-armed superpowers continue stumbling toward a hugely alarming World War III scenario. And they are discussing covertly sending Soviet-made air defense equipment to Ukraine. Well, it's getting late. Because at this point, I think a shipment would be easily identifiable on satellites. And we've already seen a major precise strike by the Russian side, the one I covered yesterday. By the way, we have new video here today and a better view of what happened yesterday. And this is covered. All you'll hear on the Ukrainian side is, oh, they attacked a shopping mall. Oh, people died. But we have video evidence that they were shooting multiple rocket launcher systems from this. We have the drone footage of the rockets being thrown from this very place, the shopping center. In fact, it was the place where the rocket launchers were parked, and they were driving out, shooting their rockets, and parking back in. So it's not at all a strike on a civilian facility. It's a strike on what had become a Ukrainian site of military intervention. Oh yeah, and just before we get into the war reviews, Ariel Soares says, test good, hello. Hello, we got your test, Ariel. You are live. NBC accused of airbrushing photo of biological male Leah Thomas. Look at this. This is what you see on NBC. So, you notice, it's like there's makeup on the face of this person. The real video shows this. So basically, they brushed so that it would look more feminine. They brushed it so that you would have the impression that you are looking at more of a woman. Now, wasn't it the whole idea of this competition with a trans woman? Wasn't it the whole idea that Leah Thomas has been approved as a woman? They've looked at her hormone. Everything is fine. It's a fair competition against a biological woman. If so, why do you need to airbrush and Photoshop her image? She should stand as the beautiful woman that she is, shouldn't she? Oh my God. I mean, we're at the point where the mainstream media is helping hide the truth about the state of the unfairness of having trans women compete with actual women. Grapes Coda says, leftists don't believe in physiognomy, JF. Well, they act like they believe in it. They act like they're engaged in it. We have lost a major Telegram channel that was covering military news and providing a lot of videos and analysis on the Ukraine situation. But it's not a case where they were banned. It's a case where one of their members has been arrested because they were too pro-Russian. Gonzalo Lira says, what the fuck? This was posted 20 minutes ago on their official Telegram channel. In light of recent developments in the information sharing community, OZINT and News, the team has decided to end our coverage of the Ukraine-Russia war. It's too risky for some members of our team who reside in countries where authorities don't tolerate people providing alternative coverage to the mainstream narrative, and they refuse to take that risk. We hope you guys find good coverage elsewhere. We will continue to cover the Middle East as normal. Oh my God. That sucks, because the Middle East is not what's interesting to track right now. So it seems that one of them was in a Baltic country. We don't know which one it was. But basically in these countries, they don't have free speech. And the commentary has been judged too pro-Russian. Too pro-Russian to speak. That's what happened. U.S. Embassy denounces lack of consular access for detained Americans in Russia. Well, there you go. You wanted to play rough with Russia. Now Russia can do whatever it wants with the Americans that were in Russia that violated the law. So, of course, they will be used as leverage. Here they complain, they want access, they want to talk to them, but in the end, as long as your attitude will be one that is so unfriendly to Russia, there is no reason for Russia to go easy on these people. In fact, they will go as hard as they can, as hard as allowed by their own law, and eventually, perhaps, at some point in this conflict, there will be a trade, and perhaps those criminals can be sent back to the US with some exchange against Russian soldiers or something like this. Presumably Russian soldiers that would be detained on the Ukraine side. Maybe there can be some kind of a trilateral agreement. 3,000 Canadian Pacific Rail workers strike as fertilizer shipments grind to halt. This is something we're going to have to look for this summer. Personally, I bought all my fertilizers for years in advance because I knew there would be shortages. I didn't know it would be that hard. But there is a lot of reduction of fertilizer for Europe, for the West, starting because of the sanctions, but also because of unilateral decisions on the side of Russia to keep their fertilizers for themselves. I can't wait to see, when is it that this hits the grocery store? When is it that we're going to lack cereals and vegetables and basic stuff? I can't wait to see, but that is to be followed. And combined with these fertilizer conditions, severe drought and dust bowl conditions threaten disastrous winter wheat harvest in the US. So we will be lacking a lot of things that relate to agriculture. Lapitop says fertilizer equals nitrogen. Yeah, generally that's what we mean, although a fertilizer very often contains other components like potassium and some other things, but phosphorus, potassium, and and nitrogen are the three main elements of a fertilizer. So yes, that's what we mean. The progression is quite impressive here in the South, because you can see at some point we were covering this war and there was just an arc here. But the other progress that the Russian army is doing is here. And now Kherson is just deeply had. You know, it's not only are they have they taken over Kherson, but they are extending to have a second layer behind the Mykolaiv encirclement. So we've seen conflict at the front line, we've seen shelling of Mykolaiv, we're also seeing some shelling in the east, presumably The goal would be one day to complete the circle here and perhaps isolate remaining Ukrainian army personnel. Someone was pointing out that personnel is what I should say instead of personal. That's what I mean, personnel. And as far as the Kiev encirclement, it's still pretty much in the same state. What we've seen on Kiev, of course, is the very high-precision attack of yesterday. Look at this before and after. We now have photos comparing. This was the shopping center before. This is the shopping center after. And we have the video of the missile going down, and most importantly, why this was targeted with a high-precision strike. But absolute destruction. The structure is still holding, but basically the floors were washed out like paper walls just flying away. All right, what did I want to show in this page? So the aftermath of this Retroville shopping center attack. Here you can see it from the ground.
The aftermath of the attack, which happened last night here in Kiev, just 15 minutes away from the center. It's crazy. This is totally insane.
All right. Yeah, end of the line, Joel says, like after a BLM looting. Yeah, I think there's a little bit more power involved here. I don't think this was in the shopping center, but this was another building where a man is... Basically, the wall of his building has fallen. And look at this, the furniture is still in there, just holding onto the side. This was the furniture that used to be back against a wall, but the wall is gone. And look at him, he's just collecting his belongings. Fascinating that the furniture withstands, but the wall falls. It's hard to imagine, hard to believe. Now, to confirm that this was not an attack that was intended on a civilian infrastructure, on a shopping center, look at how they had converted the shopping center in an army center. So they were hiding military vehicles below here in the parking, and they were shooting from this position. They were shooting toward the Russian forces, and then they were quickly driving back to hide their vehicles so they wouldn't be targeted by airstrikes. Well, that is how you end up with civilian infrastructure destroyed. You decide that the seat of the war will be within civilian infrastructure. Here's the video evidence showing how this site was selected as a target for attack. So those are the three different, the five different buildings of the complex that forms the shopping center. And you can see outside of the shopping center, there are vehicles, and one of them is here, and it's shooting artillery toward the Russian position. So that's a close-up of the vehicle that was shooting missiles or rockets. This is a MLRS. And so they're tracking where the vehicle is headed after shooting. That's still the same vehicle. It's right here, right now. So those were building one and two, separate from the shopping center complex. And there it is. It goes to hide inside this shopping center, which was targeted by the airstrike. So when you see that from the air and from an aerial position, you can conclude that this is being used as a military infrastructure to hide the people shooting rockets. So you're going to have the whole propaganda on the Ukraine side spend all day saying, oh, they're targeting shopping center with civilians inside. But you've been storing your ammunition there. That's where you're shooting missiles from. And look at the strike scene from the air. Boom. Oh my God. That was a powerful missile. I mean, this is a huge center and it blew the center left and right. How does that happen? Perhaps there was a combination of... Perhaps there were missiles in there that blew with the strike. But my God, this is like many hundreds of meters wide in terms of an explosion. Well, this is the story of the strike onto a shopping center. Biden confirms Russia's use of hypersonic missiles in Ukraine. Well, we didn't need that confirmation. We knew it yesterday. In fact, 2 days ago. Zelensky says Mariupol is being reduced to ashes, but the city will survive. Well, yeah, that's one way to view it. The ashes survive. John Drake says 2,000 pounds of plastic explosive. Cowbot says thermobaric. It could be. I don't know if it is what they call thermobaric, because it seems that thermobaric has a specific function, which is to create a shockwave that destroys structure. Could be this, but it could be something else. It could be just a big missile. So, the status of Mariupol is increasingly destroyed. In fact, there is a member of the Ukrainian army calling for help here. That was 3 days ago.
Господин президент, сделайте так, чтобы Мариуполь выжил. Нам нужны системы ПВО. Не маленькие ракеты, которые не работают на самолеты агрессора. Нам нужны нормальные системы ПВО. Мы не знаем точно, останемся ли мы живы, когда вы будете смотреть это обращение. Но знаете, что такая судьба может быть у каждого города Украины. У каждого. Под завалами гибнут дети, старики. Они не могут потом выехать. Они сидят 23 дня без воды и света. Если вы обещаете помощь, пожалуйста, выполните свое обещание.
All right, so they're now launching their messages directly onto the internet, but I think those are calls of despair, because I don't think any help is coming from Mariupol. The rest of the country is barely standing for itself and just maintaining themselves. There's no place to help an already encircled city. And so what the most sad thing here has been pointed out by Coach Redpill, which is that these soldiers are getting deceived. They're getting deceived into thinking the war continues. And basically they're getting told the war continues until you're dead. And instead of surrendering intelligently and recognizing, okay, we lost this battle, let's keep some people alive. No, instead they are told to keep their position, and they are told we are winning the war and it's working, but it's not working. This is absolutely unrealistic. Chef Marv says, it's kind of ridiculous to engage an enemy and then beg for a weapon. Yeah, it's so disorganized, and yet we have... All we hear on the mainstream media is that the Russian army is disorganized, but I haven't seen Russian people, Russian soldiers on the front line, making social media videos like this, asking Vladimir Putin, hey, we need bigger missiles, we need you to do something. And, you know, this is the response of Ukraine. They reject Russia's demand to surrender Mariupol. So Mariupol is already lost. It's like the question is whether the soldiers in Mariupol right now will all be killed or whether you surrender. Just step on your pride a little bit and give up a little bit. No, Ukraine decided they reject the demand to surrender Mariupol. Well, it's like, you're going to be responsible for this bloodbath. Raised Fist says, Jeff, don't you remember the movie 300 that you liked so much? A soldier fights to death, no surrender. I liked the principle, and I can still respect... if there was a bunch of Ukrainians who would say, Jeff, we're so attached to this land, we're just going to die to make a stand. I can respect this, but it's not what's happening. Because when you do that stand, you need to be sure to make it known that this is your stand. But right now what's happening is that people are getting deceived. They're getting deceived about the true state of the advancement of the Russian army. The Ukrainian side is getting deceived with fake, up moral kind of propaganda. And they're getting deceived with the false sense that they're winning. And it's like they're going to be able to maintain this face until they're not. And they're going to lose eventually. And that means the death of soldiers that have not decided, like the 300, to make a stand, to say, we're going to impose the biggest cost to the enemy so that they know that when you attack our people, we're ready to die to make a statement. That's not what I see here. Mariupol this morning, following the refusal of Ukraine to surrender, completely in smoke, bombarded, carpet bombed. There was not even a way to fully identify the locations that were being shelled. The whole thing is on fire. So that was this morning, and this is the situation that a surrendering could avoid. Now it's going to get more indiscriminate, and now the Russian army is just engaged in cleaning it up before they enter. We have some video of fighting with the Azov battalion, against the Azov battalion, in this little footage here in Mariupol. So it seems that the Russian army is advancing into the city, or at least close to it, because at this point this is not shelling, this is them getting into straight confrontation. The missile hit very close here.
Теперь я понял, почему нельзя отставать.
All right. Surreal to see a kid's swing. Yes, I mean, this is what happens when you make the seat of your war the place where you live. This is a decision on the Ukraine side. Destruction of residential building in Mariupol again as a result of the shelling. Everything is on fire. They describe it as hell on earth. And some residents who appear that they are headed to leave the city. However, it's getting more and more complicated. So that's the situation right now. Advances on the southern front. Continuation of the shelling of Mariupol. And meanwhile, that's a situation I would call unlucky as fuck. Husband of cinematographer killed by Alec Baldwin says her parents are stuck in war-torn Kiev. Wow. Can you imagine? You have a two-front war. You have Alec Baldwin on your western front killing your daughter, and then you have your parents are stuck on the eastern front on Kiev. What a bizarre turn of fate. Vice President Harris has a philosophical comment about time.
The governor and I, and we were all doing a tour of the library here and talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time in terms of what we need to do to lay these wires, what we need to do to create these jobs. And there is such great significance to the passage of time when we think about a day in the life of our children.
She was one sentence away from this being a very profound reflection. I would have liked to hear something about the inescapability of the forward movement of time, these instants that get captured by the universe, and then suddenly you can't go back to them anymore. But no, it's she's a level lower than this, and it's like, yeah, you know, lots of significance to the passage of time. Because when you think about the significance of the passage of time, you realize the significance of the passage of time. Ted Cruz has been arrested, but there were cops involved in stopping Ted Cruz because he was complaining. Listen, this is a case where, I mean, the video, it's not Ted Cruz going crazy. I've looked at the video. It's really just Ted Cruz arguing with the cashier. But Ted Cruz was at a Montana airport. He was late for his plane. When you're late for your plane, you take the next plane. But you can't argue yourself out of this. There's just no way. You didn't catch your plane. You're going to be on the next plane or on some future plane. So Ted Cruz, they called the police because he was arguing too much with the cashier, and the police came in, and it wasn't Ted Cruz on hinge, no. There was basically nothing. But of course it makes it into the media because they had to call the police. Steven Robinson is on Entropy. He says, Jeff, what are the chances a Jew survived through being transferred to four different camps during the Holocaust and ends up killed by Putin? Putin is now more hated than Hitler, and not even 6,000 Ukrainians are dead. I think you're referring to a news item that appeared today that a 94-year-old man, I believe, he was a Holocaust survivor, but he ended up killed by shelling this morning. What are the chances? How many 94-year-old people exist on the planet? Are they geographically more likely to be in Europe and Eastern Europe? Yes. So it's likely. It's potentially happening. So it's not an improbable thing that I would say, oh my God, this is so improbable that it has to be false. It's possible. There are plenty of people who identify as Holocaust survivors in these countries around Poland. You know, this was the whole World War II was much more wide than Germany. It was like everything from Russia to the UK. All of this was involved in some way in World War II. So. Yes, a possible thing. Steven Robinson says, Jeff, Kamala is stunning and brave. Fuck off with your patriarchal mansplaining. Okay, I didn't want to mansplain, but as a philosopher of the internet, you know, I like to have a little more substance in my commentary on time. Manhattan's third largest hotel to sell at a staggering loss, one of the largest hotels in New York City, will trade at a massive loss, an ominous sign for the owners of Manhattan's big hospitality properties. Host Hotels and Resorts has agreed to sell its Sheraton New York Times Square Hotel for $365 million, less than half the $738 million it paid for the 1,780-room property in 2006. Things are losing their value in these Democrat areas. It's just not a smart investment because you're going to be stuck with So much taxes, they're going to attack you on all fronts. It's going to become impossible to make money. On top of it, John Drake says New York is zombie land. Yeah, because of COVID rules and stuff. So basically, the big project seems to be to eventually communists to take over these locations and make them available for free to people who can self-declare as homeless. So it's not it's not the right time to be buying these big buildings. They're going to be taken from you. Communism is rising. Pentagon says Russia still not meeting their objectives in Ukraine. What do you know about it? Unbelievable that people are reading this and believing it. This is the mainstream discourse that 99% of the people will believe. What do you know about Russia's objective? You don't even know what Putin wants to do with Ukraine, what part of Ukraine is interested in. You don't know. You're just making up stuff. Goldman Sachs carries out Wall Street's first over-the-counter crypto trade. First, Goldman starts making markets in nickel with the metal still frozen on the LME. And now this, in what will likely be construed as a milestone for Wall Street, Goldman Sachs has conducted its first over-the-counter crypto transaction. The bank traded a Bitcoin-linked instrument called a non-deliverable option with crypto merchant bank Galaxy Digital. So basically, Goldman Sachs is buying Bitcoins, but not really Bitcoins. They're buying products, guarantees related to Bitcoin. Okay, still good. A professor says Americans should eat lentils and let their pets die to cope with inflation. These people are horrible. This girl is like, hey, I have the solution to global warming and inflation. She wants you to look, not kill your pet, just look at your pet slowly dying. Look at your dogs slowly dying. An economics professor has a solution for the little people dealing with the country's inflationary woes. Use mass transportation, eat more veggies instead of meat, and cut back on unnecessary care for your pets. To deal with gas prices, it's worth reconsidering public transportation. When it comes to food, don't be afraid to explore. Plan to cut out the middle creature and consume plants directly. It's a more efficient, healthier, and cheaper way to get calories. Eat your pet. Eat your pet. She didn't think about it. That is the next level that only my crowd will be able to find a solution to. Fake news, says Ryle. Is it? What did she say about the death of pet? If you're one of the many Americans who became a new pet owner during the pandemic, you might want to rethink those costly pet medical needs. It may sound harsh, but researchers actually don't recommend pet chemotherapy, which can cost up to $10,000 for ethical reasons. Okay, it was less cruel than made out to be in the title. I get it. So watching a pet die because of cancer is not like watching them die from lack of food or anything. Okay, I get it. Yes, I agree, it's fake news. Sweet Pea says China Eastern Boeing 737 crashes with 132 people aboard. It seems that everyone is dead. China's Eastern flight number 5735 had been traveling at around 30,000 feet when suddenly, just after 6:20 GMT, the plane entered a deep dive. At its cruising altitude speed of 455 knots, according to data from flight tracking website, the data suggests the plane crashed within a minute and a half of whatever went wrong. Well, that is always sad. Some people who were just trusting the aviation industry and something went wrong. I don't know what it is that went wrong. It's hard to tell from this. No idea. No idea what went wrong. Guy from V says they'll blame it on Boeing. I don't know. I don't know how these works. How do you get a vertical dive all of a sudden? Aren't there ways to even if everything is broken, aren't there ways to just glide to your landing site? A vertical, maybe it's a case of pilot depression or something. Couldn't take it anymore. Telegram bends the knee once again. So Telegram, I covered a news item a couple of days ago where Telegram was banned from Brazil by the Supreme Court. And now Telegram has bent the knee. They said, okay, Supreme Court, we're going to delete the post that you require. And now they are unbanned. So they've decided to bend the knee to still be available in Brazil. Sometimes you have to bend the knee so that you can reach people in other ways, but I find it extremely worrying that a government like this is playing with free speech. We need decentralized solution. That is what we need. And for now, Odyssey works, but eventually Odyssey will have to decentralize even more, because they're going to come for Odyssey also. And will they have the balls then to keep us on the platform and other people? I hope so. But eventually we need to develop methods that are uncensorable, just like Bitcoin. See, no one asked for certain Bitcoins to be censored. Some people are trying to seize Bitcoin, and you can do so if you have the seed key. But in terms of asking the servers of Bitcoin to stop transferring certain wallets, this never happened. And so it shows that decentralization works. It can work. All right. That is it for tonight, boys. I didn't have much other news. How will this end? We didn't get much vote. One person says 1/3 of Ukraine under Putin. Another one says 2/3 of Ukraine under Putin. I would root for the 2/3, but I will settle for the 1/3. That is it for tonight. Justet says 48 minutes. What the fuck? Well, if you want the shows to be longer, you send me super chats, you send me questions. Oh yeah, here, I will extend the show here because someone sent me an email. So let's read the email. Michael says, hey Jeff, I had some thoughts on democracy and would love to hear your opinion. I think democracy in its current form has failed, or at least has become unmanageable in this current era. If you look at 8 years of Obama going in some direction, then 4 years of Trump doing a 180 degree on every policy and deals Obama made, then Biden coming back as Obama 2.0 and doing another 180, etc. I'm really not sure why would anyone want to deal with democratic countries anymore. If they put their faith in us honoring a deal, then a couple years later a new administration arrives and they all die, like we saw with the botched Afghanistan withdrawal. Pretty sure a lot of people had faith in the US. Help the US, and then we're all betrayed by a new administration. Now countries avoid taking phone calls from Biden. Any deal Biden will make might be dismantled by a Republican administration in 2 years, or a Republican House and Senate. Canada has the same problem. We are so divided that every election has a risk of doing a 180 on everything. Why would anyone want to deal with that? What I'm seeing right now is countries with dictatorships will get together, go their own way without us, and become very powerful. Trudeau said it best. Basic dictatorships can turn and adapt on a dime. We, on the other hand, will be left tearing ourselves apart and probably have civil wars erupting. I would much rather deal with Russia and China. At least they are stable and their elections, if any, have not much impact on previous deals. You know what you're getting. Seriously, I remember Trudeau saying he admired China's basic dictatorship, and he might not be wrong. I would hate to live in China, but we've got to create a MAGA-style basic dictatorship somehow in a new country that would have seceded, or completely rethink our democratic system to make elections have less impact on the world. Maybe longer terms for presidents, or banning managing by executive orders. Any thoughts? Well, I agree that democracy has its defects. But I don't know if the solution is dictatorship. To me, the solution would be don't give that much power to the result of democracy. So the reason it's a problem, this instability of the deals, the international deals that you describe, and yes, it's a problem. You know, we've had Trump, you know, going with an America first, American nationalist policy for 4 years, but everything before Trump and after Trump is all on the other sense, which is, you know, the free trade was the great thing like 10, 15, 20 years ago. So yes, this creates instability. But I guess in a world where the president wouldn't have control of whether trades happen or not, if the government didn't have control on these things, then it wouldn't matter that there's some instability and some level of changes in the policies, because the policies wouldn't reach the point where they can intervene on your ability to do commerce. So I guess my suggestion, rather than go for dictatorship, so you present dictatorship as, oh my God, this provides stability. Well, sure. But there are things that are unstable inherently in a dictatorship. Although the leadership may be stable, the conditions of oppression and the arbitrariness of the application of the law will eventually fall onto you. You know, in a dictatorship, you may be favored by the system at some point, but at some point you may become a problem and some other people may take over power in your local area, and then suddenly you're an enemy of the state. So I don't think that dictatorship solves the problem of instability. It solves it in appearance, but in reality, it creates more instability. You don't know. In a dictatorship, you don't know if tomorrow morning your business, which has been operating under this dictatorship for 10 years, but suddenly the leader doesn't like you anymore, or the local mafia doesn't like you anymore, and boom, you're gone, and you have zero rights, zero recourse. So my solution is make governments so much smaller that it won't matter whether you switch from Obama or Trump. Just outlaw the capacity of governments to interfere with private trade. That's one thing. Just make it impossible for governments to stop a trade, or make it so hard that they don't dream of doing it in a mass way as they do, which is with treaties and stuff like this. So to me, my libertarian leanings push me on the other side. If we were to reduce the size of the government that much, you would have a form of stability in the sense that you could know that no matter which government gets elected, it doesn't change. That you can have your ship on this port and it can trade with this country whenever you decide to. Matrix server soon, please, says IGSEC. Well, you know what? I developed a Matrix server and it's on right now. It's working. I shared it just on the Discord with a specific set of members. It's on the general channel, actually. You could have access to it. But I launched a call on the general Discord server for people to test it, and I've only had one person join the Matrix server. So for now, it's really rudimentary. I just wanted to test it to see how it looked and whether I can host one myself. Well, guess what? Right here, right below my finger, you don't see it on camera, of course, but Right below my finger, there's a dedicated server, and it's running a Matrix instance. So we can have full decentralized Discord-like free speech. But then the question is, how much people are going to join this fucking crap? Because just getting one person to do the test was hard. People were like, JF, I'm confused. How do we connect to your server? And they were connecting to the Matrix official server. And I was like, no, we are fully decentralized. You need to connect to the specific Papa JF server. You need the URL. How many people are going to do this? Somehow I'm afraid that out of the 3,000 that are on the Discord, at best we're going to get 20, 30 people in there. So I did the technological deployment. We have some work to do to make it appealing and complete. Hyge Security says, I'll join if I get a link. I abandoned Discord months ago. Okay, well, for now it's not ready for public deployment, but if you want to test it, reach me through any means like email or Discord DM, and I'll be giving you the URL, so maybe I can even designate you as an administrator so that you can start shaping the channel in a way that will be appealing for the general public, the peasants of the JFG Tonight community. Fractal Man sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, in the debate the other night, there was a lot of talk about consumerism. Yeah, and I didn't expect this. I didn't expect that this guy had so much integrated the globalist empire that he was like aware of what he was fighting for. And he was talking about these Funko Pop collectibles. You want to know what that is? Funko Pops. I didn't know what it was during the debate. It's these things. When I googled it, I realized what it is. Yeah, I know what these things are. I've seen them in the backgrounds of some YouTubers. But this guy was saying, you know what? I fought for the American army, and I didn't understand it at the time, but I was fighting for more Funko Pops. I was fighting for access to the consumer network of the international global network of capitalism. And that means cheaper and more Funko Pops. And I was like, do I really have to answer to this, or is it like cell phone? Bro, I'm an autistic collector, okay? I totally suffer for, like, I can concentrate my life toward a goal like obtaining all of the fill the blank, like get all of the Pokemon, get all of the magic cards. And it's really, I got out of this. I got out of this as I got old, and most importantly, as I got important things in my life, like a family. So really what I realize is that this was kind of a symptom of my autism, when my autism wasn't deployed toward the useful, toward love and care for my loved ones. So I can understand the autistic interest here. Of course, Funko Pops are not my generation at all. My generation would be collecting coins, pennies, dollars, Magic the Gathering, that kind of stuff. But to say as an adult and as someone who has a family, because I believe he has a child, to say as an adult, yeah, you know what, I fought for the American army and it was for more Funko Pops, and I'm happy about it. It shows a kind of lack of maturity, a deep one, not one just in the looks, but just the fact that this can cross his mind is problematic to me. And it boils down to one thing that I did raise to him, which is I think he has female cognition, this counterpoint. And I don't mean it in an insulting way. I think he is very much formed with a feminine outlook onto the world, such that, yeah, you know, we hurt, it was bragging that we hurt Putin strong with these sanctions. That is the reaction of a female. That is what a female does to correct a child that hasn't behaved correctly. And it's very weak. It's like, okay, the best you can do is this. It's weak. And it's what he displayed in that debate. That being said, I will continue reading your super chat. What do you think the dangers of consumerism are? And do you have any advice for avoiding it? Well, the danger, well, yeah, it's simple. I mean, it's my response to everything, but it's quite simple. Consumerism is a problem if it keeps you from making babies. And the solution to consumerism is make babies. And once you have babies, you will not, first, you may not even have enough money to be an abusive consumer. But on top of it, it won't matter because you won't get the same dopamine rush from these things, these Funko Pops. You will rather, first, and look at this. I mean, they're buying babies, basically. You're buying plastic babies. That's what you're doing. I mean, look at the facial features of these creatures. This is a baby. You're buying something to care for. So another thing you can do instead of this, if you want to fix this, if you have a problem, just make an actual baby and care for them. That is the solution. Stephen Robinson says, JFR was not questioning whether or not this old Jewish man was killed, just whether or not he would have survived in 4 Holocaust camps. Well, you know, when they say the number of Holocaust camps, it's like those people who are currently deported from Mariupol and the bus stops at some other city and then they get deported from this other city, in that the bus restarts and that they get to another city. I mean, it's very easy that you would get people from such a series of deportations say, I am a survivor. I am a survivor of 4 Ukrainian camps. I've been deported at 4 different camps. But it's really the Russian army carrying you to a different place. Stephen Robinson says, also, JF, did you see that Idaho decided to ban all abortions after 6 weeks? It's not the best, but it's better than the rest. Yeah, they kind of got, they've gotten in the direction of Texas. Yeah, it's good. It's to be celebrated. It's not a super important fight, but as I pointed out before, it's an important fight to protect state sovereignty and state sovereignty from the Supreme Court, which we have to seize it while we have a favorable Supreme Court, so that never again can the leftist basically pressure progressive policy onto right-wing states by using the Supreme Court. This is not what it's supposed to do. And Stephen Robinson says, one more question, JF, what is the make and model of headphones you are using? HD380 Pro Sennheiser. Beautiful headphones. I really like the over the ear, around the ear, you know, style. This is professional headphones to its best. Much love, sleep well. I'll see you tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow, late show around 9 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you.